The first eight guys maybe should be blue plate specials, but those back five guys, they should be more like tin hats, more guys that are grunt players, garbage players that dive for the ball.
You are listening to the Scrambled Eggs Podcast on CrackedSidewalks.com.
Done Deal 2, the sequel perhaps better than the original. We hope.
We think.
Welcome into Scrambled Eggs, everybody, your unofficial Marquette basketball podcast. Joe McCann, Phil Bush here with you, as promised, to react to the news of Marquette's new head basketball coach. And when we last spoke, Phil, I don't think we had thrown out Shaka Smart, but we really didn't think this was realistic. But I guess at the time we'd recording, Texas had not yet lost to Abilene Christian. And things have really kind of spiraled out of control since, and now Shaka Smart is apparently the new head basketball coach at Marquette University. Your initial reaction to it?
My God, it is. It's Optimistic Phil's music. My God.
He's out of his cage now.
He's loose, guys. You're never getting him, put him back in there. My reaction is, yes! Yes, this is exciting, and it's funny because you in the side chat we have going, you did happen to link to the original podcast back in 2014 when we hired Wojo. So I hate listening to myself, but I went back and I listened to that, and the trepidation, certainly on my end, your end less so, but definitely you were cautiously optimistic about the Wojo announcement is like night and day to how I feel about, one, the fact that Wojo is now gone, and two, that we have gone out and replaced him with Shaka Smart, who's like the guy we wanted all along, right?
He's way up there for sure, and I think a couple things I want to touch on the podcast, I want to do a deep dive as to who Shaka Smart is as a coach, what he's going to bring to Marquette, and why the future at Marquette might be different under Shaka Smart than it was under Wojo. But I just want to start with this, Phil. Why do you think Shaka is the best choice, particularly over a guy like Porter Moser, who I think most people, maybe within the Marquette fan base and even nationally, like we're saying, it's got to be Moser at Marquette. Moser is going to Marquette. Porter Moser is having this great success, Loyola Chicago. The most sensible destination for him is at Marquette. So why is Shaka better than other candidates, and particularly Moser, in your opinion?
Yeah, I think he's the best candidate. And again, your statement earlier is true that you know, we didn't really think we could get Shaka, but now that we apparently have, it's amazing. But the reason Shaka was my number one over say a Moser is simply that I think Shaka, yeah, everyone's going to talk about the NCAA wins at Texas, the tournament wins in Texas, or the lack thereof. Valid criticism, and we'll talk about that. But Shaka has, from an analytics standpoint and from a style standpoint, been consistent throughout his, you know, what is it now, 10, almost 11 years, or no longer than that, 12 years of head coaching experience, right? And you know, if you look at his KenPom numbers when he was at VCU and at Texas, he has solid defenses. He recruits really well. In fact, if you look at it, he recruited better at VCU than Wojo did at Marquette by the numbers in terms of recruiting rankings, which, you know, those are worth the paper, barely worth the paper they're written on. But again, he fundamentally does a lot of the things that Wojo was claimed to have done. And he does some of the things that we know Wojo can't do, which is adjust, play strong defense, or coach strong defense, and kind of have an analytical mindset. So to me, he was kind of the best choice because he has a proven track record of being successful. Maybe not successful in the way Texas wanted, maybe not successful from a purely NCAA tournament perspective, but successful from a basketball sense.
Couple of points I want to make, particularly when it comes between Moser and Shaka. I think generally speaking, a lot of Marquette fans are excited for Shaka, but I definitely am not speaking for everyone. And I, you know, again, I know a lot of fans who wanted to see Moser. And I would just make this point, because I could see ways that both could go wrong. I could see ways that Shaka could go wrong. I could see ways, you know, his offenses never get going, and he's maybe he's been exposed and can't run that Havoc defense that made him so successful at VCU, because they were always the underdog and played that Havoc defense, and that made them a tough matchup for teams that never saw them. And I could see that he's just never taken that next step, but I could also see why it would not have worked with Moser. Moser plays a much slower style, which maybe you do have to do in the smaller leagues to catch when you need to level the playing field against the big boys. Moser is not recruited at a high level. Shaka has been recruiting at a high level for 6 years now. He's been getting guys at Texas. He's been getting NBA players. So he has those inroads. And I would also remind people of this. Shaka Smart is 10 years younger than Porter Moser. Shaka is 43. Moser is 53. So now if those roles were reversed and say Shaka Smart was a coach in his 50s who has only had one deep tournament run, or maybe had two surprising tournament runs, maybe say he's passed, you know, his best days may be behind him. And if Porter Moser was a 43-year-old who was just getting started in his career and had taken Loyola Chicago from, you know, obscurity to one Final Four, and we'll see what he does this weekend, maybe two Final Fours, you could say, wow, this guy, his best coaching years are ahead of him. Porter Moser has not had a lot of success outside of these two great teams. Now, so the question, and Indiana may end up hiring Porter Moser, or maybe Oklahoma will hire Porter Moser. And what those schools have to determine is he a better coach? Is he suddenly flipped a switch, and is he a better coach now than he was 5 years ago? Or is he just stumbled upon, not stumbled upon, but he has just built two great teams, and he has gotten the most out of those two great teams and had a great run. I'm not saying Porter Moser may not be successful, but I feel a little bit better that maybe Shaka's recent postseason failures could turn around than I could that Porter Moser's recent postseason success could continue.
Yeah, and I want to go on record. If Porter Moser were the choice, I would get behind that choice, right? Like
same here. I would have been all in. Yeah, I would have been all in if they hired Moser too.
So it's kind of an embarrassment of riches, right? We kind of had a choice between two really good coaching candidates, or so it seems. And right, like we may publish this, and the you know the scrambled eggs luck may come back to bite us, and two done two deal may the sequel may be worse than the original. But you know I think, and again, it sounds weird because everyone talks about the tournament success or lack thereof at Texas. But we are somewhat of an analytic-based blog, if you will, and an analytic-based podcast. We're fluent or at least conversational in the analytic discussion. And when I think you look at the numbers for Shaka and Moser, now, you know, Shaka's coaching at Texas, you know, in one of the top three conferences in the country, with all the credit and money that Texas provides, you know, they're on a little bit higher playing field than a Moser who's playing at a mid-major with limited funding. You know, Porter even made mention of the fact that he couldn't, you know, it was very difficult for Loyola Chicago to schedule tough games so they could beef up their strength of schedule. So the analytics, you know, maybe favor Shaka's environment a little bit better, but Shaka between VCU and Texas has just had sustained success, right? He's had a top 40 defense every year at Texas. And as you noted, he wasn't even playing that Havoc style. Maybe that was a choice. Maybe that was, you know, I've got athletes now, I don't have to play Havoc, whatever it is, right? But he has remade himself a couple of times, and from an analytics perspective, has had really solid defenses, has recruited really well, and that's what if I'm doing a side-by-side comparison, Shaka has shown me he can do the things. Moser probably can do them, but I'm not convinced he can do it at the level that Marquette needs him to.
Consider this. This is the most experienced head coach Marquette has ever hired.
Period. Full stop.
Like really, like ever. Like Steve Wojciechowski, first time head coach. Buzz Williams had 1 year as a head coach at the University of New Orleans.
Half a year.
And then was a. Yeah, I mean, you know, he was a head coach for 1 year, but you know, but then he went on to be an assistant under Crean. Crean was a first time head coach. Mike Dean was a coach for 8 years at Siena. Kevin O'Neill was a first-time head coach. Bob Duquette was his head coach 7 years at St. Peter's before coming to Marquette. Rick Majerus was a first-time head coach. Hank Raymond's 7 years at NAIA. So we're going back to the 70s and Al McGuire before that. Nobody has ever come in with this much head coaching experience at a power conference level.
And he's 43.
No Marquette and he's 43. So no Marquette coach has ever started with the level of name recognition that Shaka Smart is going to bring to the table. So he's going to, he could kind of get rolling pretty soon here. Now I'm saying Marquette's going to be great next year. They might. There's a lot to shake out as far as player movement, and we'll touch on that in a minute. But I want to make one more point about Shaka's shortcomings at Texas. This is going to come off as excuses, but it is just facts if you want to spin it this way. So he made in six seasons, he made the tournament three times, lost in the first round every time, once on a half-court heave to Northern Iowa. That was a 6-11 upset. He lost as a 10 seed to Nevada. That game went to overtime. And then, of course, this year he lost. Granted, it was probably one of the most embarrassing losses in tournament history, certainly for Texas. But he did just lose by 1 point to Abilene Christian. So three close losses as opposed to Wojo's two postseason appearances, which were both annihilations. I mean, Marquette made the tournament twice under Wojo, got blown out both times. So then the three seasons Shaka did not play in the tournament. Obviously, one was last year, no tournament. Looks like Texas was maybe a bubble team when it stopped. So last year's Texas team, maybe not great, but they were right in the mix. Maybe they could have won a game. Maybe they wouldn't have. Who knows? 2017, he had to suspend Tevin Mack, who then transferred, left the program. So he lost his leading scorer midseason. In 2019, he didn't have Andrew Jones. Andrew Jones had leukemia. Andrew Jones had to leave the team to get cancer for cancer treatment in the middle of 2018, the season when they lost in the first round to Nevada. So, granted, he's had some tough luck. That doesn't excuse all of his shortcomings, because that Texas team should never have lost to Abilene Christian. They could play that game 100 times. I bet Texas wins 98. But they played probably the worst game they could have possibly played, and Shaka had to answer for that, and that's probably why Texas was ready to fire him. But what I'm saying is Shaka's tenure at Texas is not as disastrous as you may think. You say 6 years, no tournament wins. True, but if you dig a little deeper, like you said, Phil, his teams have been mostly good. He's lost his top scorer midseason twice, once suspension, once leukemia. And then he's just had three close losses in the postseason. That's not that bad, but his defenses have been top 40 every single year. So he's had good teams, and he's had NBA players. And he's also had some guys that maybe developed faster than he thought, guys like Jared Allen. He probably wasn't planning on Jared Allen being a one and done, but he was. And he went to the NBA. Maybe that was the guy you were planning on a few years. So his tenure at Texas, I don't think, is as bad as people make it out to be.
No, I would agree. You know, for fear of you know, accusations of hypocrisy, right? We said, you know, Wojo had lots of reasons in each year and kind of dismissed them. I think the Shaka reasons are a little bit different, but B, at the end of the day, Shaka got to the NCAA tournament more than Wojo did, right? Like in a comparable 6 year span to each other. Like take away Wojo's first season, right? Shaka got to more, he had more bites at the apple in terms of the tournament. And I don't necessarily measure someone by tournament wins. That goes a long way. Obviously, like if you get a Final Four run, man, no one's going to come knocking on your door to fire you within a year or two, right? You've got some cachet there. But getting consistent shots at the NCAA tournament, that's one of the areas that Wojo fell short that I think Shaka has proven himself successful at, and he's also proven that he can win in the tournament, admittedly at VCU. But again, how much of that is bad breaks and bad lucks? Go back and look at Jay Wright. I'm not saying Shaka turns into Jay Wright, but Jay Wright for the first 8-9 seasons at Villanova, you know, would get there, but would lose in the first game or the second game of the tournament, right? It wasn't until maybe 8 years ago, 7 years ago, that Jay Wright fully turned into Jay Wright, right? And again, I'm not saying becomes that same arc, but there's a strong possibility he does.
Yeah, I am I'm very intrigued to see what he will do on the recruiting trail. I assume he will still recruit at a high level. Maybe Marquette may not have the draw for some recruits that Texas would have, but maybe it will have a draw for different recruits. And what, you know, Shaka has made plenty of contacts during his time both at Texas and at USA Basketball. So I think he will recruit at a high level. And, you know, a lot may change by the time even some of you listen to this podcast as far as player movement. Guys entering the transfer portal. For what it's worth, Kobe McEwen, who I don't think anyone was planning on him coming back to Marquette anyway, but he's leaving. He's going to take advantage of his COVID year and play somewhere else next year. That's the only Marquette player movement that I have seen at the time we're recording this podcast. But I'm sure there may be other movement, but Shaka is a good enough recruiter that, you know, if he loses some guys, which bound to happen, he can recruit different guys and to replace some of the guys he's going to lose. But at the same time, he may have relationships with guys like Dawson Garcia and Justin Lewis and DJ Carton, who were all top 100 guys. And I'd have to look it up, but some of those guys may have even had offers to Texas at some point in their career.
Dawson Garcia did.
Dawson definitely did. Yeah, somebody was digging up that tweet.
Yeah, but, Texas was his first offer.
Well, there you go. So does that mean 100% Dawson staying? No. We'll see what he decides. It looks like the official announcement for Shaka as the new head coach is going to be Monday. But this is we felt comfortable recording because it's not just one person saying it's a done deal this time. It is everybody saying it's a done deal across all platforms.
Hashtag everyone is the source.
Yeah, you know, including Ben Steele, who's the beat writer for the Journal Sentinel, even kudos to the Marquette student media, the Marquette Wire. They had a guy outside the Al McGuire Center asking people what they think, and, you know, they didn't deny it. He asked, even gotten a soundbite from President Lovell, who said, hey, what do you think about Shaka to Marquette? And he goes, hey, I think it's great. So that's not a denial. That's right. Basically a confirmation.
Well, it was John I'm going to butcher the name, but that's what I'm known for, Luzi. From a Marquette student with The Wire, who got the soundbite from Lovell, got a picture of the number 18 jersey going into the Al, which, you know, 18 is A, not a legal number, and B, Shaka, we're assuming, is the 18th coach in Marquette history. So good job by them. But yeah, it's coming from a lot of sources, so we feel very comfortable. But if we're pivoting to the player front, to your point, Shaka recruits at a high level. His first move is going to have to be to re-recruit the current roster, right? There is that the cupboard is not 100% bare. I mean, maybe we'd have to go comparison to comparison, but knee-jerk reaction is the talent is considerably better left on the roster now than it was when Buzz left and Wojo took over. Wojo was successful in retaining all that talent, or retaining the talent that was there. We'll see what Shaka does. I mean, I'd love to see Dawson and Justin and DJ and Greg Elliott, you know, and those folks all come back, right? And we'll see what Shaka can do. I think that's the first move to get them there. But I think if players transfer, and it's perfectly reasonable, right? Like, you got to make a decision for yourself. You only live once. If the combination of Marquette, Shaka, a rebuilding year, like, if that doesn't appeal to you as a player, right? Like, if you're Dawson Garcia and says, you know, man, I can trade up. I can go somewhere else. I can find a better situation for myself. God bless, right? Like, that's the decision you got to make for yourself. No ill will whatsoever. But I also think, again, we talked about it a little bit in the podcast, with Shaka's recruiting talent, and this is going to be a bonkers transfer portal year, right? Everyone, I mean, you're seeing half the Big East in the transfer portal. Not all of them may stay there or actually transfer, but you're seeing a ton of players in the transfer portal. You know, Shaka might be able to reload more so than rebuild.
I think so, too, and I think some guys are probably just waiting for the confirmation that they get the free year. That
right.
I think that's happening in April, so when it's finally confirmed that you can transfer once without having to sit out, I think there will be a flood of transfers all over the country looking to move. Maybe some from Marquette, but again, also maybe some to Marquette. So that's why, you know, if I know some of you are dreading the idea that the entire team is going to leave. Let's say worst case scenario, that's exactly what happens, and everybody leaves. You know, that's it's the cost of doing business sometimes. But then, to your point, Phil, Shaw can just recruit other guys. Right. if half the country is going to be in the transfer portal, I think Shaka could find 10 guys and bring them in and put together a half-decent team. So, between the guys you mentioned and some of the younger guys who maybe didn't play much next year, Oso, Dexicano, we'll see. They all have their own individual decisions to make, and I'll respect whatever they decide. Everybody should respect what they decide, whatever they want to do with their family, if their personal lives and their basketball careers, respect it. But some of them will stay, but I think you're being naive if you think all of them are going to stay. Some guys may move on. And then, of course, there are the recruits. There are two that are signed, Cam Jones and Stevie Mitchell. And then there's Jonas Adu, who is a verbal commit, but fast-rising prospect, too. I mean, he was a guy who was, not even top 200 when Marquette offered him, and now he's, top 30, something like that. And we had kind of heard rumblings. We had discussed this in our little MUBB pack chat, Phil, that even before the coaching move, that Jonas was looking to, or not Jonas was looking to, but other schools were trying to talk Jonas out of his commitment, trying to flip him, which is certainly natural when you're playing on Tobacco Road and you're a top 50 recruit. But what does he think now? Because he's free to go. He hasn't signed anything. He could decommit. He could take some visits. He could recommit. He could say, I like Shaka a lot. If you look at Shaka's recent
big
history,
he's
put some big guys in the pros now. Not that they're all stars, but, I mean, Mo Bamba, Jared Allen, Jackson Hayes, I mean, these guys are in the NBA. So is that something for him and the bigs on Marquette's current roster to consider? So I think Shaka will do okay. Is he going to, as far as re-recruiting the current roster and the commits? But I'm confident that Marquette will have a competitive team next year. What expectations I'm going to put on it, who knows, right? Depending on what players Marquette adds and what players the other teams in the Big East add, right? Who did I see in the Big East, almost all their seniors said they were coming back this week? Was it Xavier or Butler?
No, it was Butler.
It was Butler, okay.
Yeah, because someone made the comment that all the seniors are coming back, plus the up-and-coming talent. Butler would be really dangerous. Now, I think it was Fanta said this, and it was kind of one of those things in the chat, will they?
Well, but again, when you bring back a lot of experience, people think you're going to be better. And as every year, I'm going to assume Nova's going to be great. Nova probably will be great. And we'll see what happens with McDermott at Creighton. What could happen there? I mean, they're still playing right now, but we still have that situation that
I mean, there's always DePaul, and there's DePaul's still waiting to hire someone.
Who knows? DePaul could land a guy who's going to hit the recruiting trail hard and land a bunch of junior college guys or whoever finally recruit the Chicago area. Maybe DePaul won't be a joke next year. You don't know, because this is going to be a crazy transfer portal offseason, and a lot of teams could be completely different. Who knows? There may be some team out there that could literally have 12 new guys. As far as, everybody leaves and the new coach, I'm not saying Marquette's going to be that way, but there could be some teams that are going to be like that, that are going to be a complete roster overhaul this offseason. So, based on Shaka's recruiting chops, I feel like I'm talking in circles now. I'm confident that he's going to put together a competitive roster. Will it be top three in the Big East? I don't know, but we'll see what he does.
Yeah, I'm going to go out again. Optimistic Phil is out of his cage and running loose. There is no holding this back. We have to see, way too early to tell. But I feel like with Shaka's recruiting prowess, the state of the Big East, at least from a team perspective as it looks right now, certainly a lot of teams losing a lot of talent, either through transfer or graduation. I think the makings are here, if it works out right, that Marquette can be a top three team next year in the Big East, with a reload. Now, that's not guaranteeing that'll happen. Obviously, Shaka's got to come in, re-recruit the players, either in the recruiting class or on the roster currently, that he thinks help him, and recruit others to the team, because there were four open roster spots at a minimum prior to all this. So Shaka's got a lot of recruiting to do. But I think with the playing time that he offered, the skill sets present, Shaka's reputation, his style, I think he can bring a lot of talent to Marquette, either retain talent or bring talent into Marquette that would enable them to be in a position to be a top three Big East contender next year. You know, if it doesn't work out that way, it doesn't work out that way.
You are the optimist. And that's why we love having you. That's why we love it.
First years are tough, but there's a possibility there, which is what the excitement is about.
One bit of Marquette player news did come across the wire just as we were recording, Phil. Jamal Cain is in the transfer portal. Now, he, just like Kobe, was a senior at Marquette, and we had assumed he had played his last game and would be going on to other things. Whatever pro opportunities he has, but is apparently he is in the transfer portal, so he would be same situation where he's going to take advantage of his extra year, his COVID year, but he's apparently going to play elsewhere.
Yeah.
So three seniors from Marquette, Kane is now in the transfer portal, going to take advantage of his extra year. McEwen is in the transfer portal, going to take a year. And at last check, and this was just from Wojo at the end of the season, he said Theo John was moving on too. So that's kind of where we are right now.
Correct. Yes. And I think for clarification, we've talked about it in the past. So with Kobe and Jamal going into the transfer portal, they can transfer anywhere as a grad transfer, but they will then count against the scholarship limit for whatever team they go to.
That is my understanding of it as well.
If they stayed for a COVID year at Marquette, Marquette could theoretically still have a 13-player roster, and then Kobe and Jamal would be beyond that roster count. And transfer portal does not mean, we've seen it plenty of times, mostly in football, but sometimes in basketball. If you go into the transfer portal, you can still come back. You're not gone forever. So Jamal could come back. I mean, hell, the entire roster could go into the transfer portal. And then Shaka could recruit some of them back to the team.
Yeah, basically it's like basically it's your way of communicating to every other school, I'm out there, who wants to recruit me? And you can see what kind of offers you get, and if you get what you like, you can take one and leave. But if you want, if not, as long as your previous school is welcoming you back, you can go back to your other school. So basically all these schools are saying, or these guys and everyone in the transfer portal are saying, I'm out there, I want to play another year. So that's what Kane and Kobe are doing. Could they potentially still come back to Marquette? I suppose. I guess they're going to meet with Shaka at some point over the next 48 hours. But we'll see what happens.
Yeah. I mean, has anyone gotten on the flight tracker stuff? Anything coming from Austin to Milwaukee
actually,
you should be aware of?
I think I saw that on Twitter.
I missed all that.
I think I actually saw on Twitter. There actually is. I forget who tweeted at me. My mentions are a mess right now, but... somebody did tweet at me a flight tracker from Austin to Milwaukee. So Shaka's coming, and I guess he's going to have an in-person introduction on Monday. So there you go.
Yeah, I mean this is the weird thing, right? Like this, I do want to do a shout out to the Marquette administration, right? And some of this is kind of reinforced in the chats we're in and the reactions on Twitter. You know, this coaching search, so you and I have collectively been through, this is our third coaching search in our fandom, right? Crean, we were freshmen when Crean was in his first year at Marquette. And so we missed the Dean to Crean handoff. But the previous coaching searches when Crean left and Buzz left, you know, for me, it was filled with angst and frustration and you know, and anxiety over who's going to be the next coach. What are we going to do with this one? Granted, we made the choice to dismiss Wojo and go look for another coach, which, you know, taking fate into your own hands always feels better. But I have to say, through it all, I mean, we can talk about, you know, leadership being tone deaf and not doing the right things and all of that stuff and be snarky about it. But Marquette made a decision that they didn't have to make, right? They could have rolled the dice with Ojo for another year. People would have been upset, but they wouldn't have necessarily blamed him. People would have said, all right, I get it. Then they dismissed Wojo, and then instead of going the quote-unquote easy hire route, assuming there was reciprocation, they could have hired an up-and-coming assistant. They maybe could have waited for Porter Moser to become available. they could have gone after a Craig Smith or a Dennis Gates, right? Instead, they set their sights on Shaka and presumably Porter, and said, all right, we're going to pick one of these two guys. They went through the process. They ran the traps on Shaka. It would have been easy to not explore the Shaka opportunity, one, given the 7 years ago done deal, and, you know, we flirted with him once and it didn't work out. Why embarrass ourselves and do it again? Two, having to get out, you know, having to work to get out of the Texas deal with Shaka because he has 2 years left on his contract and a not inconsequential buyout, right? So they had to navigate that. They had to do it all in a matter of a week. And it culminated in what I personally feel is the right decision for the right coach at the right time. So I do want to say that Bill Scholl and Mike Lovell and the Board of Trustees and Marquette leadership deserve a thank you and a job well done on this one. I mean, we've made fun of decisions in the past. We should probably respect when they make what we believe to be good decisions in the present.
Yeah, I hope this was a good decision. It feels like a good decision. Like, to your point, it feels a little different when you're unsatisfied with the program is and you're looking to upgrade, and then you feel like you're upgrading, as opposed to the two previous changes where, at the time, Marquette had a coach it liked, and it was like the rug was ripped out from underneath us both times when Crean left for Indiana and then Buzz went to Virginia Tech. It's like, well, now what the hell are we doing? We got to find a coach now.
Right.
But when you are actively looking for a coach and you find a guy that you feel good about, it does feel a little different. So, yeah, I agree. They deserve some praise. They made the two bold moves. One, firing Wojo now instead of letting it play out for another year. They looked at everything over the past 7 years and decided he wasn't the guy. And then they did another bold move. Again, no coach has ever started at Marquette with this much experience and this much name recognition as Shaka Smart. So they went out, and I feel like they made the best hire they could. I really do. Again, we've been through comparing him to Moser, and again, there were other names out there. You brought him up, like Gates and Craig Smith and Pat Kelsey, the North Texas coach, the Oral Roberts coach. You know, all young up and coming guys, but none of them bring what Shaka does as far as recruiting chops and experience at the major conference level. So I think it's a good hire. I hope it's a good hire. Again, the fact that Shaka is just 43, I think he has room to grow as a coach. We went through the reasons for maybe some of his failures, and yeah, he has to answer for those, but he's still young enough. He's younger than Wojo. He's young enough.
And has shown a lot more flexibility than Wojo, yeah, right? Which was part of the issue.
And I think he's young enough that he can grow as a coach. Maybe he can look at what went wrong at Texas and say, well, you know, I wish I would have done this differently, or maybe I wish I could have added this to my offensive scheme, or maybe Havoc wasn't the right thing for Texas, whatever it was. So I think Shaka could still grow as a coach and still get much better, and hopefully more wins in the future. So I'm excited. I am behind the Shaka Smart hire, and we'll see what happens from here. Again, I think we'll probably have plenty of podcasts over the next few weeks, Phil. You know, maybe not as frequently as we do in the regular season, but as player movement happens, as, again, once this transfer rule gets cleared up and probably a bunch more guys enter the portal and there's a lot more guys connected to Marquette, we'll see what happens recruiting-wise. Then we've got the spring signing period. We'll see if Shaka is able to close the deal where they do or not. So there's a lot that can happen over the next few months before we get into the next basketball season in October, November, but I'm excited. I probably haven't felt like this level of optimism about Marquette basketball in a while, actually. I guess maybe I was a little excited heading into that 18-19 season, considering the experience we had coming in with Joey Hauser on board, but we know how that one ended. But again, other than that, out of the last 7 years, it's been kind of a grind pulling for Marquette basketball.
Yeah. Well, I'm just excited for what, you know, again, presumably there's crowds at the Pfizer. Maybe it's not 100% capacity, but maybe it is. And that first intro for Shaka Smart, right? Like, it's going to be night and day compared to what it would have been had they rolled Wojo back.
Yeah.
Right. So
yeah,
I think just the enthusiasm around the program alone is worth noting.
I think there's a buzz now. You know, granted, I'm living in my own little bubble as I work from home every day, but
literally and figuratively.
Yeah. Like, you know, it's basically my checking of the temperature is basically based off the MUBB hashtag on Twitter. But I and just texting friends about the program, but I feel like there's more excitement now than there has been about Marquette basketball in a while. And we'll see if that translates at the at the ticket gate, at the Fiserv Forum, and most importantly, in Big East wins, because that's really what it's going to come down to. Can Shaka compete in the Big East and get Marquette to a level where it is competing with Villanova at the top of the Big East? Villanova is king as long as Jay Wright's there. But can you get to where Creighton is, where Seton Hall has been with when Willard has had his senior-laden teams, where Marquette was briefly in 2019 before that season ended the way it did? Can you get up to that level? I think Shaka can. Now, again, ultimately, if he makes the tournament next year and loses in the first round again, he'll be like, oh boy. But I'm trying to, I hope I will, and I'm pledging to you I'm going to try to be patient. Because again, this is year one for a 43-year-old coach who has a Final Four to his credit, who has been to the tournament, I think, every year there's been a tournament except two in the last 10 years.
Correct.
So,
yep.
He's got some chops, man. He's got a nice resume. Texas obviously wanted a little more, otherwise they probably wouldn't have pushed him out the door. You kind of touched on that earlier. I'll be curious to see what kind of details come out about the buyout and what happened with Texas. My guess is Texas either waived or significantly decreased the buyout to let him go because they didn't want to sign him to an extension.
Yep.
And Texas is going to be – I bet Texas names Chris Beard its head coach by Monday. I think they're going to go – oh, they're going to try anyway. They're either going to get Chris Beard or they're going to get a no from Chris Beard by Monday. And so they wanted to move on to get Chris Beard before somebody else did. So I bet Texas was more than happy to let this happen. And hopefully it works out.
Yeah, I think it was in the cards, which is why it did happen and happened relatively quickly, right? I mean, we went from firing a coach to hiring a coach at an established school within 7 days, and that's – atypical, right? So there were a lot of moving pieces to that, but yeah, I think there's lots of reason to be enthusiastic. We'll reserve judgment till we see what the roster looks like, and you know, we really can't decide for a couple of years, but there is reason for hope, and that should be good enough for now.
I'm excited. We should all be excited, and good luck and welcome to Shaka Smart. I know it's not officially official, and it won't be officially official until Monday, but it will be, but it is, for all intents and purposes, official. Shaka Smart is your new head coach, and it is a done deal. And we're excited about it.
Too done, too deal.
Should we get out of here, Phil?
Yeah, I think we've said enough.
I think we've said plenty.
At this point, we're going to turn into Shaka fanboys.
We'll try to temper our expectations and excitement for now. We'll see what happens over the next few weeks. But hey, hit us up with your thoughts on Twitter. I'm Joe McCann 3. Phil is MOOF23. At Crack Sidewalks is the team handle. You can hit us up at cracksidewalks.com, post a podcast there. Remember to rate, review, and subscribe, Apple Podcasts and Spotify. We also got a Scrambled Eggs Facebook page. Looking forward to the off season. Maybe a little anxiety, but generally excited to see what happens over the next few months, Phil. I'm pumped.
Yeah, I went from dreading to excited. That's great in my book.
That's good. Enjoy the weekend, everybody. Seashells and Balloons.